This week, technicians in Southeast Washington continue a field test to show how carbon dioxide could be injected and trapped deep underground. It's an experiment led by the Pacific Northwest National Lab. Injections of 50 tanker truckloads of CO2 will take about 4 weeks. Then comes about a year and a half of monitoring to see if the global warming gas stays locked away forever beneath ancient lava flows. Correspondent Tom Bonsi reports the viability of carbon capture and storage can spark lively debate among climate scientists, activists, and industry.
Carbon dioxide, that's what makes your soda drink fizz. When CO2 comes out of tailpipes and smokestacks and builds up in the atmosphere, it's one of the main culprits in warming the planet. The U.S. Department of Energy is financing research around the country to show how the greenhouse gas could be captured and then banished deep underground. One long-planned, small-scale field test is now underway in basalt rock formations between Pasco and Umatilla.
Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Lee Spengler was one of the speakers to welcome the media and invited guests to view a tangle of pipes, compressors, and temporary storage tanks last Friday. Spengler directs the Big Sky Carbon Sequestration Partnership.
This is the first time pure CO2 has been injected into basalts in the field, so it's very exciting to be a part of this.
Spengler and scientists from the Pacific Northwest National Lab explained how they expect the global warming gas to crystallize and turn into an immobile solid at the depth of half a mile.
We estimate there's up to 300 years of storage for our six-state region and the basalts that occur in these northwestern states.
The injection well was drilled next to a pulp and paper mill owned by Boise, Inc. The Wallula Mill along the Columbia River ranks 25th on the Washington Department of Ecology's state list of biggest industrial emitters of greenhouse gases. But Boise spokesman Destry Henderson says the carbon dioxide for this field test is being trucked in from far away. It's presently impractical to capture CO2 from the paper mill stacks.
Right now, it requires an enormous capital expense, and there isn't a market for carbon credits. So we're doing the scientific study. Right now, we need to do the economic study down the road. But what's important is if the science doesn't work, then we can't do the economic study.
Henderson says Boise Paper is happy to host the carbon storage experiment on its property to demonstrate environmental commitment. But will this concept ever be commercially viable? That's been a longstanding question. One climatologist who's looked at carbon capture and storage experiments in Europe is Professor Stefan Rahmstorf. He works at the Institute for Climate Impact Research in Potsdam, Germany. Already in 2009, he shared his doubts with me.
It looks like a very cumbersome technology. You have to collect it at the plant, very energetically expensive to get the CO2 out of the exhaust fumes.
Then you'd have to transport the greenhouse gas to the remote underground storage location.
Big pipeline infrastructure, you know, all that translates into big costs.
Over in Seattle, the environmental director of the conservative-leaning Washington Policy Center is willing to give carbon storage a chance. This is Todd Myers.
The problem with climate change is that politicians get enamored of a few big ideas. But the way that we're going to reduce carbon is not a few big ideas. It's with a lot of small and varied ideas. We need a diversity of things. And this adds to that diversity of options, which I think is fantastic.
Myers finds it ironic that some environmentalists opposed the Pacific Northwest National Lab's carbon storage test in the early going. Those critics feared the technology could be an enabler for a new coal-fired power plant along the Columbia River, but the power plant developer eventually went away, and so did the local opposition. I'm Tom Bonsi in Wallula, Washington.